Okay, for the first question, Wes, and this, because we're doing this for bow sight, really we're gearing all of this information towards bow hunting mule deer as opposed to rifle hunting. I know that you do both. So for the first question, what do you consider to be the best habitat for hunting mule deer with a bow?
I'd say the most important part of hunting mule deer is being able to see them. If you're hunting dense forest that you don't have the ability to glass and you're limited to short distance type situations, then you've limited immediately right out of the gate, you've handicapped yourself. So I like wide open spaces where I can actually bed deer in vegetative terrain that doesn't keep me from being able to stalk them while they're bedded. I'd say that's the number one thing. One, you got to be able to find them, and two, you've got to be able to hunt them while they're bedded.
And describe like a perfect setup for you for the
Perfect
habitat.
setup.
Yeah, like so let's talk about like I know I've hunted mule and I'm terrible at mule deer hunting, so don't take anything I say with any degree of credibility.
Yeah, well, we have a little bit of experience together.
Yes,
I
I know
think
we have.
we flung a few arrows, so
Yes.
that's about all we've done.
So I've hunted in, like high sagebrush, I've hunted in low sagebrush, I've hunted in like flats out in Wyoming where there was a cut draws and things like that. So like what do you look for that really turns your crank?
Well, anything that okay, so you have Eastern Colorado where half of our operation was, and you've got the CRP program. So the deer would move out of the crops, out of the sorghum, out of the milo, out of the corn, wheat, if you will, and then they would go bed in the CRP. And the CRP grass was just high enough that it would cover basically the pedicle of their antlers, and we could still see the tips, right? You see the tall G2, G3, G4. And even the beam. And if you could get right where the H1 and H2 measurements were, if you could get grass that was that high, there was no way for them to see you. So, as far as making your approach, you had sight eliminated. And then if you had a good 10 mile an hour wind, you had sound eliminated as well as scent. So, in a way, Eastern Colorado or the flats or anything that's tall grass that you don't have obstructions other than what they're bedded in keeps them from being able to see or approach while they're bedded. That's probably best case scenario. But so many geographic areas offer opportunities that are somewhere along those lines. I just really like open. I like to hunt in the open. I think some of the most intense hunting I've done the last year for myself has been in the desert, where all of it is all vegetation. It all sticks you. It all makes noise. And when they bed, they are completely concealed. So you're actually hunting an idea, and you never actually get an opportunity to see the animal. You have to hunt the shadows of the bed that is there after you left, 2 miles ago, and you never get a visual until that animal stands up. So you never get confirmation that you're even stalking anything that's really there. Say that after you lost your visual, dropped down the side of the mountain, got the wind right and the sun right and made your approach. By the time you get there, you might be sitting there for, I had sat on a bed last year for 30 minutes and the buck wasn't even there, but there was no way for me to know that because the vegetation was too tall. So I would say best case scenario is country where you can see the tips of their antlers all the time.